So thank you so much for coming out. It's not really Rosh Chodesh Kodesh, so what I think we're going to do is we're going to turn our perspective to the next event on the calendar, which is Asar B'Teves, which is coming up in a few days. And I'd like to present a radical view of what happened on Asar B'Teves, and it's not my view. It is the view of Rosh Shlomo Fischer. Rosh Shlomo Fischer is the Rosh Yeshiva in Itri, and he is a tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham. He is of the previous generation. He is still alive, but he is of the caliber of the previous generation of Gedolim, who literally has everything at his fingertips. And he's a remarkable, remarkable personality who just Torah pours forth from everything he says, his being, his actions. And he has a beautiful set of drushos called Drushos Beis Yishai. And he has a drush, a very short drush on Asar B'Teves, and it radically transforms regarding how we can approach what Asar B'Teves is and what happens on Asar B'Teves. And perhaps we can take something with us to through the rest of the month in our own observance of this holiday or this day on the calendar, which sometimes gets passed by as another fast day. And we kind of lose perspective when it goes by, and then we move on to Tu B'Shvat, and then that's it. So we'd like to perhaps present a different perspective this evening.
Where does this Rav live?
Rav Shlomo Fischer lives in Har Nof. Actually, I bought the sefer from him. I went to his house. That's the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. You can, go to the author's home and buy the sefer right there. So when I was in yeshiva, he actually used to come to the yeshiva about once a month or so. He used to give shiurim in the yeshiva. He's a very, very interesting personality. We'll open with a comment of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, in his book of Halachin, here in Siman Tav Kuf Nun, he brings the famous opinion of the Avud Raham when it comes to Asar B'Teves. The Avud Raham writes that on Asar B'Teves, it's different than all other fasts. And the reason is because if it was possible for Asar B'Teves to fall on Shabbos, it would be Docha Shabbos, and we would fast on Shabbos if Asar B'Teves were to fall on Shabbos. I think last year it fell on Friday. Right, we fasted going into Shabbos, right? It's a very big deal. Now, the way our calendar presents itself, it's impossible for Asar B'Teves to fall on Shabbos after the calendar was established. But if it was possible and it would fall on Shabbos, we would fast on Asar B'Teves on Shabbos, says the Avud Raham. Why? And he says, because the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, in Perachof Dalet, when it talks about the 10th of Teves, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. That would be on that day. And when the Torah talks about Yom Kippur, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's the same language. And we know that Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we fast. And therefore, the Avud Raham says, there's something about Asar B'Teves that tells us that it's so important that if it were to fall on Shabbos, we would still fast. Which is mind-boggling, because even Tisha B'Av wouldn't be Docha Shabbos. There must be something special about Asar B'Teves. Let's look at Asar B'Teves on its own. We know that when it comes to the siege of Yerushalayim and during Bayis Rishon, so we have a fast. But the siege of Bayis Sheni, so there's no fast. It's only when it comes to the siege of Bayis Rishon. And for Tisha B'Av or Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, it makes sense because, why we fast? Because, those events will have calamities for future generations. Destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of Yerushalayim. So it makes sense for why we would fast when it comes to those events, because the impact is ledoros. Even to this generation, we feel the effects of those terrible events that happened on those days. And even Tzom Gedalia has an impact, because Tzom Gedalia was the end of the Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. That was the end of our inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael until we returned hundreds of years later. So those were events that impacted us to this very day. But Asar B'Teves, so there's a siege, but it's got something more. The siege, there was every single little bit of military advancement we should commemorate. Okay, the destruction of Yerushalayim, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the killing of Gedalia. Okay, those, it's hard, easy to relate to. But a siege is just a piece of military activity. So says Rosh Shlomo Fischer, there must be something a little bit more. And he notes the Sifra. The Sifra is the Medrash Halacha in Sefer Vayikra, beginning of Parsha Shmini. So in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, it tells us that the Sifra tells us that we know we take on Yom Kippur, we take two seirim, there's two goats that we take. And the Sifra tells us that the two goats correspond to two events. So one is the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, the selling of Yosef. Why? Because the brothers took the goat and they dipped the coat in the blood. They dipped the coat in the blood of the goat. And therefore you take on Yom Kippur a goat as a kapara for what happened when the brothers sold Yosef. And later on, there was the Chet HaEgel, and the Seir, in some sort of way, represents the Chet HaEgel, this animal which caused the Jewish people to sin. So those two goats represent these two sins. So it seems that there's some sort of connection that perhaps the brothers sold Yosef, and then whatever terrible things were decided in Shemayim, were the brothers fixed in some way, and then by the Chet HaEgel, it kind of rebrought everything back again. So we messed up once by Mechiras Yosef, and then by the Chet HaEgel, we messed up again, and whatever happened by Mechiras Yosef comes rushing back in a torrent, and all those bad memories come back again for the Jewish people. The Pasuk in Amos says, Ko amar Hashem, al shlosha pishiei Yisrael, ve'arba lo ashivenu. So the Navi Amos says, for three things, I will forgive the Jewish people, but for the fourth one, I can't. For three things, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can handle it, but for the fourth one, I can't. And the Mefarshim explain, and Rav Fisher picks up on this, and he says that the three things are the Mechiras Yosef, the next thing is the Chet HaEgel, and finally is the spies, the Chet and the Meraglim. And for the fourth thing, which is Sinas Chinam, the hatred of the Jewish people that led to the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, so that, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't handle. The first three, I can deal with, but the fourth one, the Sinas Chinam, so that's too much for me. So we see that there's these three Averos that all link themselves together. We have the selling of Yosef, we have the Chet by the Egel, and we have the Chet of the Meraglim, all interconnected to each other. Okay. So, Shavas or Tammuz, the day of the Chet HaEgel. That we know, clear from the Slichos, clear from the calendar, the Jewish people sinned by the Chet HaEgel on Shavas or Tammuz. And Tisha B'Av is the date of the Meraglim. So, when it comes to Mechiras Yosef, though, we seemingly don't have a date. If this event is connected to these three things, where is the date on the calendar of Mechiras Yosef? Or, what date in Tanakh, or in Chumash, relates to Asar B'Teves, right? Tisha B'Av we have by the Meraglim, and Shavuos Asar B'Tammuz we have by the Chet HaEgel, but we seem to be missing something. So Shlomo Fisher has a tremendous chiddush. He says, he thinks that the date of Asar B'Teves is the date that Yosef was sold. We find this no place in Chazal, we find it not in Rishonim or the Achronim. Rav Fisher has a tremendous chiddush. He says that coming up, this date, Asar B'Teves, is the date that the brothers sold Yosef. And he brings a number of proofs. He says that the constellation, the sign for the month of Teves, is the Gedi, is the small goat. And he says that is the goat that the brothers took the coat and dipped it into. That's why it's the sign of Teves, because that was the month that Yosef was sold in. And he notes that the Pasuk in Yecheskel that talks about Asar B'Teves, where it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, it's happening on the 10th of Teves, so the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, La'lo schema limkom nikam nasati es dama al tzachiyach sela levilti heichasot. That when relating to Asar B'Teves, the Navi Yecheskel talks about the blood that there's no kapara for, this uncovered blood. So says Shlomo Fisher, what blood happened on Asar B'Teves? What blood? It was a siege. So he says it must be the blood of Mechiras Yosef. This blood of Mechiras Yosef is still uncovered in a sense. It's still calling out for future generations that on this day there was some terrible thing that this blood of Yosef had to be avenged. There's another proof to this idea that Asar B'Teves or the month of Teves relates to Yosef, which is not in the Beis Yishai. I've actually found it in on a Perush on Chag Gadol. Rav Aaron ben Moshe Teumim is the author of the Mata Aaron. The Mata Aaron is a perush on the Haggadah, and he has a perush on Chag Gadol. And he's a very interesting personality, Rav Aaron Teumim. He was in 1690, he was appointed the Rav of Krakow, and he was on his way to a meeting of the Vad Arba Ratzos, which was the communal government for the Jewish community in Poland, and he was taken by soldiers for no reason, and he was beaten, and he had died from the beating of the soldiers, and he died al Kiddush Hashem. So he writes in his Pershin Chag Gadol that the whole poem of Chag Gadol is really about Mechiras Yosef. Now, how does he know? Why is it about Mechiras Yosef? Because what's the Gedi? What's the goat? The goat is that was bought by the brothers to dip into the coat of Yosef's blood. And he says that Yosef is the tenth of the Shvatim, right? If you count throughout the Shvatim, Levi doesn't count, he says, because Levi doesn't really have a Shevet. But Yosef is the tenth of the Shvatim, and he says that why is Yosef the tenth of the Shvatim? Because the tenth month, which is Teves, and he says this is the mazel of the Gedi, that Yosef is sold because of his coat, which cost 2 slayim, as we say in the poem. So all these references, putting Yosef in the month of Teves, and as Shlomo Fisher says, connecting to the Mechiras of Yosef. And this is really the beginning of the process of Galus Mitzrayim. And Galus Mitzrayim only being the beginning of the 4 major Golios of leading to Bavel and Paras and Yavin and the Golos that we're in, Edo, maybe in the Golos of Yishmael, however you want to understand it. But this is really, says Shlomo Fisher, this is the beginning. Mechiras Yosef, Asar B'Teves, is the beginning of what starts the whole process, which is coming up on the calendar. So the question for us is, if we want to take this chiddush of Rav Shlomo Fisher and say that coming up is the anniversary of the selling of Yosef, so what's the tikkun? So what are we supposed to do now? What are we supposed to... Okay, so we have a date on the calendar. Yosef was sold on the 10th of Teves. Okay, so now what do we do with that? How do we go forward? What's the tikkun? So in Parshas Vayechi, in the bracha, it's this week's parsha. So in the bracha of Yehuda, so Yaakov says, "Gur Aryeh Yehuda mitaref b'nei Elisa karev ravetz karyeh uchlavi mikimenu." That Yehuda was this cub who turned into a grown lion. This is his personality. And from the prey, my son, you withdrew. You had prey in front of you, and you pulled yourself back, and you rested like a lion, and you didn't attack. So what's going on here? What did Yehuda not attack? So Rashi says that Yaakov was praising Yehuda, that Yehuda was going to, he was going to kill Yosef. And Yehuda, right before he was going to kill Yosef, stood back and said, no, it's not right. Okay, I'm not going to do this. I can't go against the brothers, but I think we need to come with a plan to sell him. And that was Yaakov's praise of Yehuda, that Yehuda could have done worse, but he pulled back and he restrained himself, and he didn't actually kill Yosef. So the question is, why does Yehuda get all the praise? What about Reuven? Reuven wanted to save him. Reuven was going to carry him on his shoulders and take him back to Yaakov and be the hero, but Reuven lost out. So what is it about Yehuda? Why does Yehuda get all of this praise? And the Medrash and Bereishis Rabba in Pehei takes Yehuda for task for not actually saving Yosef. So again, what is it about Yehuda? What was so great about Yehuda? It seems to be like, I would give him the silver medal or the bronze. I wouldn't give him the gold for what? He sold Yosef? But he was going to kill him. Reuven should get the big prize here. So Rav Shalom Shvadron in his Lev Shalom, the famous Maggid of Yerushalayim, and so he says that on the outset, really, Reuven was against the brothers. It was the brothers versus Reuven, and Reuven didn't want to sell Yosef at all. He wasn't on the whole deal. And he had no intention to harm Yosef. And certainly, that was a very good thing. Certainly, Reuven should get a big ashikayach. He didn't want to hurt Yosef. It's true. But he didn't have a struggle. From the outset, he didn't want to kill Yosef. But really, the real struggle was with Yehuda. Because Yehuda wanted to kill Yosef. He was on the path to do something wrong, and he changed himself. He was on the derech to do tremendous harm, and he pulled himself back. He was in a complete struggle to do something very, very bad, and Yehuda stops himself in the middle. We know how hard it is. In the middle, you're going forward, and you're in the middle of doing something, and you're going to finish it, and Yehuda had the strength to pull back and say, no, this is not what I want to do. This is wrong. And that's the great reward, says Rav Shalom Shvadron, that Yehuda was on a path to do something wrong, and in the middle of the momentum of doing something wrong, he pulled back and he stopped himself. And we find the same message by Yehuda and Tamar, right? Yehuda certainly made a mistake by putting himself in that situation with Tamar. He shouldn't have done what he did to get into that situation. But now that he was there, and the roller coaster was rumbling, and the car was getting away from him, and there was no place to turn back, he had the ability to put on the brakes and say, no, something is wrong. Something needs to change. I made a mistake. I need to change the path that I'm going on. And this is the midah of Yehuda we know so well, that a person is able to stand up and correct themselves when they're going on the path that they're not supposed to do, and able to pull back and stop. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful sicha in the Sichos Musar on Parshas Mishpatim about this, and he gives a number of examples about how hard it is when a person has preconceived notions about what's supposed to be, how hard it is for us to stop those preconceived notions. And he talks about the Navi Yirmiyah, the Perek Chav Ches in Yirmiyahu. So we have a story of a false Navi named Hananiah. And Hananiah had this idea that really Bavel, the Babylonians, were not going to attack the Jewish people. And he gets up and he has this whole false nevuah. And he says in the next 2 years, Bavel is going to be destroyed. And Galus Bavel is not going to come. And this is pretty much against everything Yirmiyahu has been saying for the past few years. Yirmiyahu was getting up and talking about the destruction of the Jewish people, and Bavel's going to come, and everyone has to do tshuva. And then Hananya gets up and starts, you know, going against Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu knew everything Hananya was saying was sheker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him everything Hananya was saying was sheker. And he says that really Yirmiyahu really wants to agree with Hananya, because Yirmiyahu didn't want bad things to happen. So Yirmiyahu gives Hananya big yashikayach, you know, amen. I wish it would be true that nothing bad is going to happen. But, you know, Hananya, you know, it's probably wrong. You know, bad things are going to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset that Hananya is not Yishaker. So he gives Yirmiyahu a nevuah that Hananya is going to die within the year. He's going to die within the year for being an Avi Sheker. And the end of the year comes, and right before the year ends, so Hananya gets sick, and he's on his deathbed, and he dies right before the end of the year. So the Gemara and Chazal point out there's a discrepancy in the Psukim, and they note that really Hananya, in his last moments, he told his children, I have a plan. Yirmiyahu said, I'm going to die within the year. I'm going to show that Yirmiyahu is wrong. When I die, even though I'm going to die within the year, I don't want you to tell anyone that I die. And I want you to bury me and wait a few days till the year passes, and then everyone's going to see that Yirmiyahu is a liar. Because Yirmiyahu said, I'm going to die within the year, but they're not going to know that. Then they think they're going to see that I died after the year, and I'm going to trick everyone. They're going to think I died after the time Yirmiyahu said I was going to die. Yirmiyahu is going to be a big liar. And, you know, it's ha-ha-ha, you know, jokes on Yirmiyahu and Avi. So, this is all found in Rashi there in the Psukim. So, Chaim Shalevet says, look at a person. His whole life, the last years of his life, is all about that Yirmiyahu is a liar and the Galus Bavel is never going to come. And this was his whole message in life. And on his deathbed, when he should have had tshuva and said, I was wrong, I went against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I did the wrong thing. On his deathbed, instead of, you know, talking with his children and bringing his family together and talking about his will, his last will and testament, what is the only thing he has to say to his kids? Let's scheme to show that Yirmiyahu is wrong. And we're going to trick everyone. That's how hard it is for a person to admit when they're wrong. That to invest, they're so invested in something, he couldn't give it up. On his deathbed, he had no place else to go. What did he have to lose? And still he couldn't admit that he was wrong. And he had to come with this whole charade to make a joke on Yirmiyahu to show that Yirmiyahu was might have been a liar. And Yirmiyahu was 100% correct. That's how far a person goes when it comes to admitting that everything they worked for was wrong.
Just out of curiosity, did his children go along with his?
They did. That's what they did. That's what they did. They did. They carried it out. And they buried him after the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they did. There's another proof that Chaim Shalevitz gives from the Navi in Malachim. Malachim Aleph Perek Dezayin. So the Navi there talks about a bunch of very bad kings, and one of the most famous bad kings is Achav. And Achav had a friend. So what did the friend do? So the Pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua Perek Vav tells us that after the Jews conquered Yericho, so what did Yehoshua say? I'm going to put a chayr, a curse on Yericho, and anyone who builds Yericho, so their children are all going to die by the time they put the last stone on building Yericho. So Achav had a friend, Chiel, and Chiel said, Yehoshua, you know, forget him, he doesn't know how to learn, he doesn't know anything, I'm going to build Yericho, forget his curse. So Chiel comes, and he builds Yericho, and from the puts the first peg in the ground, the first son dies, and he doesn't stop, and he keeps on building Yericho, and the next son dies, 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 until he's finished building Yericho, and what happens? All of his children are dead. All the children are dead. So says Chaim Shalevitz, how's it possible? All the children are dying, he can't stop. He says, this is what goes on inside a human being's head. That you're invested in something, this is my project, this I knew was right, this is what I'm going to be all about, this is what I think is MS. And you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you a message, hitting you over the head, again, and again, and again, and you just can't give it up. You just can't step back, because you're so invested in what you thought to be true. I just, the comments, you know, reflects on me very much. When he's talking about his children passing away, I think it's happened sometimes, you know, often, not hopefully not too often, you know, we make decisions about the chinuch of our children, we make decisions for our children, and It's very uncomfortable as a parent to step back and say, no, I made a bad chinuch decision. No, I made the wrong decision for my child. Why? Because we don't want to look like we don't know how to parent. But we see from here, obviously, lahavdil between the story of Chiel and us, but we see, you know, that a person so invests in what he thinks is the proper derech for their family, the proper derech for their children, and, you know, they can't break away from it because they don't want to look like, you know, they made a bad mistake in educating their children. Okay? So, we began with the statement of the Avud Raham that, you know, Asar B'Teves is this terrible day, and we have to fast on Asar B'Teves, even if it falls on Shabbos. So, what is it about Asar B'Teves that makes it so much more chamor than other fasts dedicated to the Chorban HaBayis? So, I'd like to read to you a Rambam in Hilchos Tanyos, in the beginning of Hilchos Tanyos. The Rambam is fascinating. He writes as follows. He says, Mitzvah Esei Min HaTorah. It is a Torah commandment. To cry out at every terrible thing that happens to the community. He quotes a pasuk, and then he says, all terrible things that happen to the community. We need to cry out and go down to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the path of tshuva, that when something bad happens to the community, to go and cry out to Hashem. Shebizman shetavo tsara v'yizoka lo v'yareo. That when a tsara comes, we go and we cry out. Yedu hakol shebiglal ma'aseyim harayim hara lahen. Because of our bad mistakes, this is why bad things happen to us. Kakasu, when he quotes a pasuk, and this is what causes bad things to be removed from the Jewish people. If we don't cry out, if a person doesn't cry out, if a person doesn't recognize that something bad happened, stuff happens all the time. Okay, you know, people get sick, you know, people get into accidents, bad things happen, you know, it's just a statistic. You know, it doesn't mean anything's wrong with me, my household. It doesn't mean anything's wrong with my community. It doesn't mean anything's wrong with Klal Yisrael. You know, just these are the numbers. Things happen in the world. You know, it's nobody's fault. Al yomu davar zemi minagolam erialanu, but sarazu nikra nikres. It was just happenstance. This is why it happened. Harezu derech agzarios. That is a meat of cruelty. That is a person who's cruel. Because it causes people to stick to their mistaken ways they had in the past. And will cause continuous bad things to happen. And he quotes a pasuk, you walked with Hashem in circumstance. You didn't see that Hashem's hand was guiding you. You thought that everything was just, you know, the way, nature of the world. I brought you a message, so you should do tshuva. Im tomru shehu keri, osef aleichem chemas oso keri. If you think that every single tzara is just a number, and it's just a circumstance, and it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I'll bring more. I'll bring more until you guys see that it's not just it's not just something that happens in the world. Okay? So the Rambam is telling us that when a person can't admit that we are wrong, when a person can't admit that we've done something wrong, the community made a mistake, that we made a mistake, so then almost nothing is going to change his outlook, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to bring more tzaros, unfortunately. And when he's hit again and again and again, and the person says, no, this is just the way of the world, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, you know, you're not getting the message. And this is what we see, this is what Chaim Shlomtz is pointing out, that the tzaros come because we don't see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the world. We think that everything is just circumstance and nothing is happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets it in motion. Obviously, the first mistake is when we go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't do what we're supposed to do. But the second mistake is worse when we say that the punishment is just, you know, an accident, that it wasn't set up by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think this is why Asar B'Teves is worse than all the other fasts, because it's reflected in the pismon that we say in Asar B'Teves. In the Slichos we say, I want to read for you the opening line of that pismon, and you'll see exactly what the author is saying. It says, Avosai ki bitchu b'shem elokei tzuri, my forefathers, they trust in the name of Hashem, my rock. Gadlu v'hitzlichu v'gam asu peri, they grew and succeeded. and they also produced fruit. Things were going great. But from the time they went astray and they walked with Hashem b'keri, indifferently, like the Rambam said, what happened in Asar B'teves, says the author of the Pizmon, we started to see things as in just the happenstance of the world. We forgot to see that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and that things happen for a reason. So, Hayuholich v'achsor ad hachadash ha'asiri, they were progressively diminishing until the 10th month. And this is how the Pizmon opens for Asar B'teves. What happened in Asar B'teves? We forgot to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is setting the world in motion, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running and making sure everything happens in the world. And the source of our afflictions are not seeing the hands of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That's the source of Asar B'teves. Asar B'teves comes from being stuck in a worldview and not seeing the need for change. And this is the worst thing a person can do in their avodas Hashem. To say that there's no avoda with Hashem. To say it's just that this is the world and there's nothing to work on with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the beginning of the end for the Jewish people is Asar B'teves. Because that's the moment in time where we say, okay, you know, it's not Hashem, something else is going on, stuff happens, no, it's the terrorists, it's this, it's nature, whatever it is. And that is, therefore, why Asar B'teves is so important that even we should fast on Shabbos. Because if we can't step off on the right foot when it comes to doing tshuva for the Churban HaBayis, if we're going to miss that first step and not even get the picture and not get what we're supposed to be doing, so then we're missing the whole point. The whole point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and that the things happen because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets them in motion. The Chassam Sofer has many, many beautiful drashos. So he has a drasha on Zion Adar. And in the drush in Zayin Adar, he relates to Asar B'teves. And the Chassam Sofer says that when the basin Shamayil, when the courts in heaven sit and they judge the tsaros for this coming year, that happens on Asar B'teves. Asar B'teves, says the Chassam Sofer, is when they sit and judge what's going to happen for the tsaros of the coming year. It's coming up in a few days. That's what's going to be going on in Shamayim and Asar B'teves. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, why is it that we allow to fast on a Asar B'teves that falls on a Shabbos? We don't fast on Shabbos. Why do we fast on a Shabbos, says the Chassam Sofer? Because just like we know the halacha is, if a person has a bad dream, a tainus chalom, and you want to fast for it, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Why? Because you're allowed to fast to stop something that's bad that's going to happen in the future. You can't fast for something bad that happened in the past. To prevent something that's going to happen in the future, though, you are allowed to fast. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, Asar B'teves is coming up. If it falls on Shabbos, we fast. Why? Because Asar B'teves is when the tsaros for the coming year are going to be decided. And therefore, it's not a fast about something that's happened already. It's a fast about preventing something that's going to happen in the future.
If it's such a strict fast, maybe I'm wrong, why is it considered one of the minor fasts? But I could be wrong, but I thought it was. Like, if you don't have to, you know, people can't fast or not go faster. As if you have to skip one, you skip Asar B'teves.
True.
Everyone fasts Tishbav, everyone fasts Tam Sester, you know. This one kind of gets...
Well, you usually don't. Tam Sester is... So it could be a person's perspective. Obviously, people not, you know, realizing how important it is. That may be part of it, driving the laxity behind it. And it's true, it's true. The Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, those are, you know, those are the biggest, 100%. But
So is this number three?
I guess you want to say number three. We're not going to say, oh, so we're going to fast 24 hours on, you know,
I was going to say, it's not one of those that start at night.
It's just a short fast.
It's true. That's
right.
Depending on
the shortest
one. It's true. Depending on the calendar, it's the shortest one, 100%.
I mean, they're all lumped together, if you think. All the, like, Gedalia, whatever.
True. 100%. 100%. Obviously, the halacha is the halacha, and this was set up by, you know, Chazal and Nevi'im. But the hashkaf is what's going to drive us. Obviously, when it comes, you know, halacha l'maisa, we're going to follow what the poskim say. But when it comes to the halacha is for the poskim to decide. The hashkaf is for us to, you know, drive the meaning behind the day. Okay, so terrible tragedies that occur happen because of the averos of that happened. Avedos caused terrible things. And obviously, it is no one's place to say, you know, this happened to this person because of this thing, or this happened because of this person. We don't do that. That's, you know, for each person to make their own cheshbon and nefesh. But we need to understand that when tzaros do happen to Klal Yisrael, that it's not a mikra, it's not a circumstance. There's a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way. And according to the Rambam, the worst thing we can do is when something happens to the community, to ourselves, our family, to Klal Yisrael, the worst thing we can do is to let it pass and not change us in any bit, to completely ignore it. And that's what the author is saying in the Pizmon for Sarva Teves. To let something go by and to not change it is a terrible, terrible thing. When Rabbi Meir Tversky spoke at the White Shul a few weeks ago, for when he was being masked with his brother, Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikam Damo, so he said, you know, the Shloshim already passed, but he said, how could it be? He said, it's inconceivable that something like that could happen in Har Nof and we not change. It's inconceivable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send a message that's the greatest Kiddush Hashem and the greatest Chil Hashem, all wrapped into one event, and nothing, we don't blink. We just let it go by. We don't change something about it. It's inconceivable. It can't be that something like that happens and we don't make some sort of change in our life. Something. Whatever it is, some sort of a davening or chesed or Torah or something in some Beinam L'Chavero, something needs to affect us when it comes to these things that happened. And I think that the Mechiras Yosef is the process begins the process of Asar B'Teves. Hashem sent dreams to Yosef, and Hashem sent messages to Yosef to tell the brothers, and what do the brothers do? Nothing. Our brother's crazy, he's a lunatic, the dreams are meaningless, he's just power hungry. And that was Asar B'Teves, is the idea of the brothers getting messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the brothers not getting those messages. The Mikra, our brother has crazy dreams, whatever, you know, we'll just knock him out, we'll take care of his crazy ideas, you know, to take over the world. And that's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends messages, and we don't see the messages. It's hard to see them. And it took them 22 years of Yosef being in slavery and then going down to Mitzrayim for the brothers to be sitting in front of Yosef, and Yosef saying to them, you know, I need Yosef. Like, I need to explain to you, how did we get here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding everything, every single minute piece. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding everything. And only then, after 22 years, do the brothers' eyes open and see, oh my gosh, this is crazy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything. And all of that begins when? On Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us we need to see the messages that are coming through us in this world. And we, unfortunately, keep that message going by not seeing, you know, world events or communal events that impact us. And who's the only person who got the message, seemingly? Yehuda. Yehuda's the only person who confesses, who speaks up, who takes charge. And really, we need to learn from Yehuda's actions and not from the Mechira itself of how to respond when it comes to these issues. And we need to train ourselves to prepare ourselves to admit sometimes when we are wrong in our Avodas Hashem. When we maybe weren't doing the right thing, maybe we didn't have the right path. It's so hard, it's so difficult to say, I made a mistake in Avodas Hashem, that I could have done it better, I didn't do it as well as I could have, I might have done it wrong. It's so, so hard, because either we don't care enough about it, that's one extreme, or we're so invested in it that we can't imagine to say that we made a mistake in our investment in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei Amud Aleph says, Imroa Adam Shiyasurim Boim Alav Yifash Vishmaasaf. If you see something terrible happens, you have to look at your actions. And it makes sense that really another seminal event occurs on Asar B'Teves. And the Perish Tosfos on the Megillus Tainus writes that Asar B'Teves is also the yurtzeit of Ezra HaSofer. Okay, it's also another day, and a terrible thing on the calendar. Ezra HaSofer, who did so much for the Jewish people, and his Takanos, and really bringing chizik to the Jewish people after coming back from Bavel, he was niftar on Asar B'Teves. Now, I know, you'll look at the Slichos, it'll say the 9th of Teves, that Ezra was niftar, but at least we can, clearly in the same tkufa, at least within a day. And it fits also accordingly with the comments of the Shalshal HaKabbalah. The Shalshal HaKabbalah notes that Malachi, passed away on Asarva Tevis. And that's also up for dispute as well. The Yafu Leib has another Shita of the Shoshalos Kabbalah, who says that Malachi passed away on Shiva Asarva Tammuz. But let's go with the Mahalach that says it was Asarva Tevis. So Ezra HaSofer passes away on or near Asarva Tevis. Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, passes away on Asarva Tevis. Says the Gemara in Megillah Tesvav Amar Aleph, Malachi Ze Ezra. It's the same person. That's why he passed away on the same day. Because Malachi is Ezra. And it fits beautifully. Why? Because the Gemara in the Tosefta, in Sota, in the third parak of Masechta Sota, the Tosefta, and the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tesam Aleph, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, all say what? That with the death of Malachi, Nevuah ends. That's the end of Nevuah. Isn't that such a fitting message for Asarva Tevis, where the direct messages from a Kadosh Baruch Hu stop? There's no overt Nevu anymore. Malachi, Ezra, they're gone. And now what do we have to rely on? We have to rely on other messages from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, starting with Asarva Tevis. We don't have that open channel anymore where a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to us and says, you know, this is what I need you to do. I have a Navi telling you. Asarva Tevis is the end of Nevuah. And that fits perfectly, because the end of Nevuah means we need to be more sensitive to the other messages in the world around us. And that's all happening, coming up, to teach us to have another way to connect to the Ratzon Hashem, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Asarva Betavis is when we need to look at the world around us, our community, and to see the messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam noted already, we need to notice the things that are not by chance, and that we need to see that Hidachu V'Halchu Imo B'Keri, as the author writes in the Pizmon, that we started to not see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on top. We started to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not running everything. We thought everything was by chance. So at the end of Nevuah, the Mechiras Yosef, all these things hinting to Asarva Betavis, not noticing the Yad Hashem in everything. You know, the Yad Hashem, or seeing messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't always have to be Tzaros. I just want to tell a story about how messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't always have to happen in bad, unfortunate events. So during World War II, so a lot of Jews in Poland had to move to Austria. People were being moved in World War I. A lot of Jews from Poland had to go to Austria. And one year, Shabbos Chanukah, so Rav Moshe Flesch, who was the Rav in Vienna, so he spoke about in Chanukah, about Yehudis' determination, you know, to help the Jewish people, to stand up for what was right. And he said that even though yeshivas are all over Europe, and it's proper for Jewish education, but there's nothing for girls. And Rav Moshe Flesch went on to say that all the girls are going to, all they have is, they're going to public schools, and they have no education, and they're leaving Torah, and they're leaving mitzvos. And he says there needs to be a modern-day Yehudis. Who's going to be the Yehudis who's going to stand up and, you know, take charge and make, say, Mila Shem Elai, and help out the young girls who are leaving Torah mitzvos because they have no one to teach them about Torah and mitzvos. And everyone who was in the shul at Dan Chanukah walked out and said, oh, that's a nice vort, very nice message, you know, I hope all for the best, I hope things work out. But there was one person who was in Rav Moshe Flesch's drasha that day who didn't simply hear it as, you know, a nice vort, but heard it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending a message to them. And that was the famous Sarah Schneier, who founded the Beis Yaakov. And, you know, she was a person who sat there and didn't say, you know, oh, it's a nice vort, a beautiful drasha, it's very inspiring, you know, Yashar Koach, you know, let's go on to the next thing. She viewed that and said, oh, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending me a message. To hear something, not always in the negative, but to hear something in the positive and to take the inspiration and then to transfer that into our own lives is also taking the message and the meaning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps in the merit of humbling ourselves in response to the tzaros, unfortunately, or through the looking through the inspiration in the world around us, that Hashem will choose to address us with the clarity of open miracles and end the pain of Asarva Betavis.
Amen.
There's a book in the library that Sarah Schneer. It's called